Parshas Kisisa starts at the beginning, speaking about, even though we're holding before the Egel, Kisisa is Reish Bnei Yisrael, Fkudei Abinosu Reish, Kvefer Nafshoi, L'Hashem B'Fkrei Dissam, V'Liyabam Negev. There shouldn't be a Negev when you are counting them. What's the problem? What's the problem of counting Bnei Yisrael? Why does it have to be in this specific way? What's trying to be told through here? What's going on? So Rabbeinu Bachai explains that when you count people individually, then it looks like each one is by themselves as they are. And they are being looked at as such from Shemayim. It almost like calls the din, the judgment upon them. Whereas when we're looked at together as a tzibur, then that does not apply. And therefore, we want to try to keep Klal Yisrael not as single individual people, but rather as one whole. We know that's why the tefillah of the tzibur is more niskabel, and that's why one should come daven in a shul with a minyan, because he gets more answered, even if he's not necessarily roi. You know, on Yom Neroyim, there's also an minyan as such to be like that, to not stick out. And if one wants to be Zoyche, all the Bali Musar said that he should do things that make him a tzibur dicka mensch, do things that people need to come on to him. And then it will be that the tzibur needs him. Blaziel the Finkel in the mirror, and he wouldn't sit on Mizrach, and he would not take an aliyah during Yom Roy because he did not want to stick out. So as such, you see this type of yisoid that we want to stick together, and therefore that's what we're saying, lo yevem negef, by separating them, therefore keep them together. That's also why we say, when we mention Achayla, we say B'soich Shar Chal Yisrael. Because we're mentioning him, we want him to be remembered for good, but Avadi is really just part of the bigger klal of chaylim that need a refuah. We're not really trying to single him out in that way, and therefore he should be zeicha to a refuah of the klal. The mitzvah is to give a machtzis hashekel. Why machtzis hashekel specifically? So as far as the half, Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of Lecha Doidi, in his Sefer HaPirion, explains that everyone is a filler for a second one. We each have a buddy. We each have a buddy in Klal Yisrael. Not necessarily that it's always the same person, but that's the idea. That's the idea of Klal Yisrael. All Klal Yisrael is one. So therefore, that helps us to realize that the fact that machtzis, we're half. We're half. We're half coming to fill a hole. Chaim Kanievsky says that he makes a cheshbon that looking at whether they gave the Nizmei Azov over here by the Egel, they gave the nose rings. And it says in Pars Chayisara that the Nezim was a Becca Mishkalai. And he makes a cheshbon that a Becca is a half a shekel. So therefore, they're coming to give it as a kapara for the Egel. Therefore, it's roy that it should be that amount. Yes, Krakowski points that out. Yeah. I did not actually look through each and every word, but I did see him mentioning as Zov Kesef. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Very nice. I think we mentioned this Vilna Gaon before, that Machtzis, the Mem and Sof are on the end, Ches and Yod are towards the middle, and you have the Tzadi in the middle. That's the Tzedakah Tatzel Mimaves, that if you sit with the Tzedakah, that brings the Chaim Hashenk, and you don't give the Tzedakah, then you're sitting far apart, and Chas Hashom, that's the Mem and the Sof. At the end of it, we want the Tzedakah will bring the Ches and the Yod. The Baal Turim says that Vinosnu, that they're giving, is a palindrome, Vav, Nun, Sof, Nun, Vav, can be read backwards and forwards, the same exact thing, to teach you that whatever you give will come back to you. You know, the Baal Turim was the Tur, he himself in the Tur writes, in Reish Mem Zayin Yeridaya, Al Yal Beliboy, a person should not take upon his heart to say, how can I give my money to poor people? You should know that it's not yours. Rather, it is simply a pikadon that was put by you. You're watching it. You're watching it for Hashem. Not only that, the pasuk says aser to aser, which Chazal darshin that in order that you will be an usher by giving tzedakah. Not only that, you should know that riches is a wheel of fortune. if it's not you, it'll be your son or your grandson. Like the Gemara says by Reb Chiya, that he told his wife, give bread to Aniyah, because you never know if your kids or grandchildren will need it. And Taka, I guess the Gemara goes ahead and brings such a story that follows suit with such a thing.
So you should never have a lot of money. You should always be giving second. You have $100 million.
Now, Hanami, I don't remember who it is, nor what exactly the story is, but I believe there's some famous younger man that knew somehow he was going to be striking it rich within the landing with a windfall in the next few months, and he called Rav Shach to figure out how to set all his assets. And I think this is one of the main things that he told him, was that look at it like it's not your money, because it isn't. Hashem is putting you now with a whole bunch of money to watch over.
So what did he say?
Unfortunately, I don't remember exactly how he said set it up. I mean, again, halacha says that you split up your money a third, a third, a third. I'm saying that Gemara's right. I don't know how he actually put into practice. It was a famous thing that I remember hearing. I don't recall the details exactly, but that's the idea. Another rem is Vinosnu. On Vinosnu, the trup is a kadma of Azla, right? Vinosnu, that. The Goyin is very oft at saying, let's read the trump for what it is. Kadma v'azla, if you go ahead and get up and first give that money, then you will have that money coming back to you or to your kids. Another trump thing. There's another trump thing. Right, 1 second. I think it was on Zayitnu, he says. It's definitely on Munach Revi, but I think he says on that. The trup on Zayitnu is Munach Revi, that, in other words, that give, but leave four parts for yourself. That's the famous thing, and we know that even if you're giving a lot of tzedakah, you make sure not to give more than a fifth. Do not give more than a fifth. It could be, they say, by these like multi-billionaires or whatever, that since you're going to have so much left for yourself, even if you would, then there is perhaps an allowance to give more. I don't remember exactly. I think with the famous story with the Soloveitchiks. I think by the Soloveitchiks.
Yeah, I never.
That the, I guess it was the, right? Or the Beis Halevi's father was Yitzchak Zev from Kovna. I think his father or grandfather was Ramesha Soloveitchik or something like that. And he had a ton of money, and he lost it. And I think it was Reb Chaim Volozhiner, maybe, sat down with the Beis Din, like, to figure it out. Such a tzaddik, why did he lose all his money? And eventually, when his kids started, when his kids and grandchildren were coming to Chum, I forget who exactly said at what point in the dar that, you know, that's probably why Hashem took away the money. Because I'm sorry, at that point, Reb Chaim Volozhiner said maybe he was over giving too much money to tzedakah. I think that's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner said. They couldn't find anything else. I think as the Durs went on and Soloveitchiks became who they were, I think someone said, I don't remember who, that perhaps that's why Hashem had to take away their money, because Vado, we will see later on about riches and Chachma and Torah going together, but perhaps that's what Hashem wanted him to be able to. Maybe we could only have one, so Hashem wanted him to have the Torah, and Baruch Hashem, he was eichet to what came out of there. Hey, it's interesting. Loisa say, "Ha'asher layarba v'adal layamet." To speak out on each point, ha'asher layarba. The rich man can't give more. Why not? When did an institution ever refuse money? So all the Bali Moser speak out. Rabbi Rucham, I think primarily that we're telling him over here, when it's coming to build the Mishkan at the Beis Hamikdash, yes, there will be other. There are other boxes where you can put your charity, but in this fund, everyone is the same. You can't stick out. You can't have your plaque on anything. Everyone is the same. Everyone's going to give you the exact same thing. It's the inside of you that counts. We're not looking for the outside, right? That's what you got to give. That's for the rich man. The poor man, hadal layam, it's that they deal with a little bit. What would it, first of all, there are those who speak out that this lois assay did not apply in the Midbar. They all had money. This was a lois assay for future, for what was collected every single year. Also speak of what the Havamina was exactly. Perhaps that he would think that if he only had, let's say, a quarter, then maybe he should give them. But Yates with that, maybe he doesn't have to borrow for it. Kamash Malan, he does need to. Okay, Mefarshe, Moinei Mitzvahs go into it. The Rambam, Kir Sefer, others go into it. Okay. The Pasuk talks about Shmir Shabbos. Right, it goes for the Kabbanis. But okay, but even there you could say Kabbanis are coming to be Mechaper for Al Kal Yisrael. and what's going to be standing there, the Yisoid Klal Yisrael, Hashem loves the Karbonis, the Ramban says that Beis HaMikdash is a place for Shechina. The Rambam holds that the Beis HaMikdash is a place specifically for Karbonis. That's Yisrael, then you can still don't work it out there. Yeah, even so, in this Yisrael of this whole, yeah, you can work that out there. Shmir Shabbos. We know if there's any Shiloh Pekuach Nefesh, that's it. You're Eiver Shabbos. You're Eiver Shabbos because life is more than anything. Yet, on the other hand, if someone is Stam Mechal Shabbos, that's it. We kill him. How does that work? What's hiding? What's riding in Shabbos that brings such a thing out? As they freck the Meshech Chachma. He answers that true. Kedusha Shabbos is pushed away from everyone in Yisrael who is in danger of death. We save him. Because if there's no Klal Yisrael, then there's no Shabbos. There won't be Shabbos. There's no Eidos for Hashem. There's no witness. There's no witness for that Hashem created the world. And who will there be? But if someone from Bnei Yisrael, Bedafka, goes ahead and says, and he's healthy and well, yes, and says, I don't want to be a part of this, it's understandable then why that's different. It's not only that, it's understandable that he's doing the antithesis of what everyone else would save you for to continue, right? So you can do many, but you're doing the exact opposite about that, and that's why the pasuk says take him out. He doesn't belong. An interesting Archaim says for some reason he saw a Shabbos that if a Yid is a Sakonas Nefashis, but he's only gonna live a little bit. In other words, he won't necessarily live to the next Shabbos. Then you don't save him. It's only if we be able to Mekayim Shabbos once he's saved. Mechaschinuch Paskin's not like that, because we know that if a building falls on someone, you're not even sure if he's alive.
I'm trying to get out. I got boxed in. There's a van. Somebody has a van parked.
Mechaschinuch Paskin's not like this. He says that Avada, you would save him. There's some want to say Pshat is maybe that if it's almost the end of Shabbos, it's just about the end of Shabbos, and if you save him, it'll be after, you start saving him now, by the time you finish saving, it'll be after Shabbos already. Could be that's when he meant Big Shaila Alocha, just interesting thing to think about. Moving to the ego, the many, 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 many mahalchim in the ego. Perhaps we'll just mention what Rabbi Yochum took out of it, based on Rashi and Ramban, that Rashi says Avada, they were looking for someone simply to be in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ramban furthers this by saying that it does not say that the plan was to bring up Karbonis to it. It was to bring up Karbonis to Hashem. At the end, what happened, there were people who Taka did. It says, Chag Vashamachar, Aaron said. And that's Taka what they did the next day. Unfortunately, though, such a slippery slope, when you're dealing with something like this, people did fall. And it does eventually say, like Hashem tells Maisha that you know what's going on. There were some people who did due to it. But it doesn't mean everyone did. But even so, what went wrong? What was the problem? Ruchum explains that you would think that, you know, how do people work? People work with Geshem. In other words, material. Pictures. It's much easier to work like that. Much easier to establish shaychus too. That's how we work. You think that, okay, Moshe was definitely some sort of a living picture of what we knew what to do with Hashem. Let's at least continue such a thing. They knew that it exists on the Kisei HaKavod, a shar. Let's put the shar over here. Let's make an eagle. Let's have something to connect through that. I did that to Hashem. But Avada, like we just mentioned, it's a very slippery slope when you're dealing with Avada Zara. And it's shaykh to come to nothing. And the antithesis of nothing. You'll be at the exact opposite. You'll be serving Avada Zara. Says Rabbi Yochum, better to be left with nothing, with no connection to Hashem, because I just can't figure it out in my mind. I just can't get the connection going. I just can't feel it. I don't get those vibes. I don't have that picture going. Better to have nothing than to be by the opposite, being by Avada Zara. Such a slippery thing, right? Rashi then to Parshas Yisro says, I think we mentioned already, that You should not make molten gods. If you make 4 kruve zahav, you're over avay dezara. If you make 2 silver kruvim, you're over avay dezara. You do exactly what I say, then you're okay. For whatever Hashem decided in his chachmasay that there should be 2 golden kruvim in our kaddish kadosh above the arn, that's a mitzvah. Anything deviate, I'm going to might have paraded around asking, see, what kaisel did avay dezara?
Hashem decided that gold in the arn. The arn was gold.
Very good. Yes, the arn was gold on inside and outside. Only the inside was wood, right? But it was mitzupazov. That's not Hashem's problem. It's not Hashem's problem, right?
Hashem. But it's a design for us.
First of all, let's remember the half the Rishonim hold that the tzivui of the Mishkan was before the eagle even happened.
Right.
Half the Rishonim hold that. Even Lefi the others. So yes, it's a busha for us. And not only that, it says that in Kateger Nasa Sanegar, you don't have a chutzpah to go on a Yom Kippur with gold begotten because it might come to bite you. But the chashivas of the Torah, to lower the chashivas of the Torah because we did a chet, I'm not going to do that.
But it's a reminding of something of gold. Why didn't they make it silver? The urn is gold.
The kind of gold that wears the gold the whole year, right? And the heichel is called, there's no one's allowed to be, the whole year, just like in Kippur, people can't be around, the whole year people can't be in the heichel when they're being mocked at the Torah, or when the kind of gold is around bowing, no one can be, the whole year. There is such a thing of him being in front of Hashem the whole year also. He's not in the Kodesh Kodesh. He's not in the Kodesh Kodesh.
Elamai, what do you see?
It's on Yom Kippur itself when it's coming to the zenith of something. So then at that moment when the satan could be the strongest, you don't come in like that to try to say, oh, let me get all 8 clothes on me. Let me try to get the basic kapara possible. No, there, don't bring that in. That's going to hurt you. But for Hashem and the Torah to have the gold with them, so it's perfectly fine. I don't hear.
I do.
All right. Okay. So, anyways, says Rabbi Yochum that's what Hashem is telling them. That's what Hashem is telling them. That was the problem with the eagle. You try making a picture with. When it comes to me, there's no pictures. It's too dangerous. Better to have no connection at all. Better to not know what you're saying in davening. Better to have nothing than to end up with the opposite. That was Klal Yisrael's mistake, and we suffer from that till today. Every tragedy that happens to Klal Yisrael, there's not something in it that doesn't have to do with the eagle.
Should be gold. But maybe there's 3 things that we sold very gold.
Mil Hashem Eli, Bnei Levi. No one else came. Mamaisa, no one else came. No one else came.
Sure, some came.
Some came. But not right
so
away.
So those
not right away.
Are they gonna say those people married? Those people married Shaper Levi.
No, maybe. Maybe that, I don't know. This is what Bali Moser speak out. This is what Arishan speaks out. This is what Bali Moser speak out. Lamai said they didn't come first. They did not come first right when they got. It'll be very easy. It'll be very easy once you see it working, once you see other people doing it. The argument is the Nachshman, we know them in order to be Zeichet to the Sheva Levi.
They didn't work in the Doshachas. They didn't work in Mitzrayim.
Maybe that's why they were closer to Hashem. It was easier for them to do so. But Lamai said, this is what, what's called, this is what was. Baltaisis mentions that Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Mecheni no Mesifrecha, Moshe said, erase me from your Sefer. Moshe was a Gilgal of Noach. He didn't daven for his dar. Moshe had to stand up now and, yes, daven for his dar in order to make that tikkun. He says that the words, Mecheni no, are the Oisius mi Noach ani. Switch around the letters, you get. I'm Rabbeinu Ephraim Baltaisis.
Ishtam? No, Noach was Ishtam? Why was it?
Ishtadik.
Ishtadik. Right, but also, that's a.
Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu for the second Luchas Psal Lecha. We know Lecha that you take it for yourself, the leftovers you get for yourself. And Rashi says, the Gemara, from the Gemara Nadarm, that this is where Moshe became rich from. The Gemara Nadarm Lamaches says that.
You need
in order for Hashem to give you Shechina, you need to be rich.
Really?
It's one of the 4 requirements. And the Raya is from Psalacha.
You can't be part of the Sanhedrin unless you have independently wealthy for the rest of your life.
Yeah. They did a full tax thing?
Yeah, what do you mean? If not, they made you rich. You couldn't become part of the Sanhedrin. Let's, not have $1 million. $1 million doesn't do anything. No, let's you had $10 million. But you live the livelihood of $5 million a year. That's not called rich, which means you never have to worry about money.
The kitzur, the question is that L'chaim Moshe was a Navi already from the time of Mitzrayim. So how does the Gemara bring it right from Psalacha? Moshe was having tons of Shechinah. The Gam to Mount Torah happened before this Psalacha. How does it work? The Taz seems to ask this, and he says that that's why Rashi says Asher Harbe. Moshe became very, very rich. In other words, he had riches before, but this is becoming even richer.
What do you need to be richer for?
Well, that might go with the rich get richer.
Well,
it's trying to show, but they answer that to try to say that at least you have arrived from Saul, although we might not have arrived before he was rich. But if he did receive riches now, and it's true that you said that the rich get richer, then you said the Mishnah, by the way.
But he didn't eat. What did Moshe need money for? What did he eat? Talk to him all day. What did he need money for?
I guess money is a power. I guess like Mr. Markowitz was saying right now, that the money is an extremely powerful thing, and you needed to have it so you wouldn't need anyone else's money for the rest of your life. Are you living with Hashem? Look how strong money can be, right? The Torah says that if you take bribes, it could blind even tzaddikim from Derech HaTorah, right? So you need money, so you're good. I think that someone told me, I don't know if it's true, that Rabbeinu Tam used to put his wallet in front of him while he was learning, like to make himself like, I'm good, I don't need money, I'm good.
So it's hard to learn without money.
Good. Hashem gives everyone what they need, and everyone has to work on what they... Who's, maybe he only had 3 cents that he put in front of him. I'm saying, who knows what he had?
Exactly.
The kids of Marshon, but Basra says that the Rosh says that only a Navi Kavua needs to have money. So you could say that maybe until now, until actually holding now, Moshe wasn't necessarily going to be a full Navi. Whatever he might have been, but he wasn't considered a Navi Kavua, and therefore he didn't necessarily have to. It's not a riot whether or not he had money then. It's a Navi Kavua who had money. That's why it's bringing a riot now from Psalacha. I'm just thinking now that maybe you could still too. I remember that Ruchem Kaplan speaks in my yeshiva constantly, Ruchem's grandson. I don't remember where he says over from it. I think he quotes maybe Rabbi Ruchem as a medrash that after each tzivoy Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu got the tzivoy, and he was such an unav that he would, after it, he finished it, he went and sat back down and sat in the base medrash, like he was part of Rest Sheva Levi. Hashem told him, all right, I need you again. Me? No, what? Each time, the same, I don't think it lasted 7 days each time, but each time the same exact thing, he thought he was done. There's no hisnasus, there's no, all right, I'm on Mizrach now, I'm in the king's seat forever. It wasn't like that. He did his CV, all right, now I'm back. I think perhaps this would fit with this, about a Navi, that he, perhaps then he was really considered a Navi's Mani, only a timely Navi, who says when exactly he was going to be that Navi Kavua. Now ready, fine, good. Yeah. I became Gamachay Aminu Lailam, and it was going to be forever. He kept getting called, and he kept going back to this marriage.
No one had that, you know, no one could just walk into...
Yeah.
How did anyone...
What? Consider himself what?
Oh.
Yeah, then.
So you need to get rich or something? I hear.
Good, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, the Yaivitz in the ends of some Gemaras seems to ask and answer all that we'll be saying. He ends up saying that in order to be an usher, you have to be an usher b'deya. In order to be an usher b'mom, you have to be an usher b'deya. I don't know if that means you have to be tichtig or klug mensch, you have to be smart, you have to be knowledgeable, you have to know economics. I don't know exactly what he means. I'm sure he doesn't necessarily mean the actual straight language of street smart. Assuming it means understanding Hashem, His ways, and something about money on a ruchistic level, and therefore the Gemara is bringing right from Psalacha that if he ended up with money, it must be he was an usher b'day. If he was usher b'day, it doesn't make sense, and he ended up with the money, and this could be Taka Araya. One last shtick we'll end off with, it's the end off of the Torah. Rashi brings down that in the end of Zayis Bracha, one of the last Rashis, Yashar Koychacha Asher Shibarta, right? Ashkoich, seemingly Ashkoich that you broke it. That's what we would say. Literally, we know that the word means you should be strengthened that you broke it. What does that mean? What's going on over here? Rabbi Shalom Shechter made a nice cheshbon. He said, when is this psalacha being said? It's being said right as he's about to go up for the third time. Right? Psalacha, go ahead. You make the luchas, and then you'll bring them up, and then I'll write on them. So why is he only getting the thank you now, seemingly like we would look at it? Why didn't he get the thank you before during the first 80 days? So he says that no. What happens? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was about to throw down the luchas. The letters flew up, and then he drops the first set of luchas, or throws them, drops them, because they were so heavy. He had no one helping him anymore. All the letters went. So Memela now, when he's about to bring up a second set of luchas, it's going to be extremely heavy. So Hashem's telling him, you should be strengthened, Sheshi Barta. I don't know exactly what the ice sphere was, but maybe you could say, in other words, since you broke them the first time and you need to bring them back up, they're going to be extremely heavy because there's nothing on them now. So you should be zeichet to strength. You should be strengthened to be able to go up with the preparatory of the Torah for the second set of luchas. A guten Shabbos.